Ray Koob on the imbalanced history of rock and roll here with my partner in crime, Marcus Goldman. We're going to talk to an old friend today.
She's got a great sense of humor. She's fun to talk to. She's got interesting and fascinating stories about the music scene in the 70s. I mean, just some great stuff. So you get to hear a really fun conversation today.
Last time we talked to her was in the middle of a pandemic. Let's talk to Annie Haslam of Renaissance on the Imbalanced History.
Good afternoon, Annie.
Hello.
Hello.
My God, what's that color, for God's sake?
I know, turn his shirt off. It's so loud, huh? Ooh. I can't hear you. His shirt's too loud.
It's electric.
What are you doing up in a tree?
I've got a hawk, who hunts near us. There are red tail hawks and bald eagles nest over there. And this young guy was hunting, and he looked at me like if I didn't stop taking pictures, he was going to fly at me and eat my eyeballs. So I backed off slowly. Yeah, he was very serious. He's a beautiful bird, and we still see him. I saw him nab a squirrel a couple weeks ago. And he's amazing. He's super good at what he does. Aww. That was in the tree between our house and our neighbor's house, and he's just a rad red-tailed hawk.
They had in England, they had a big problem with them. All of a sudden, like, they were everywhere. I mean, I love birds. I mean, I've got no problem at all with them.
Like,
hey,
nail them
in
mid-air.
I love red-tails too, but I wouldn't want to have a Hitchcock moment with them, if you know what I mean.
No way. No. They fly fast. They're fast and they're strong.
Do you have a name for it?
Yeah, I call him Lemmy. Lemmy Hawkwind.
So, last we spoke...
When was the last time we were speaking? When was that?
It was during the pandemic, about a year ago, before the
album. That's what I was just going to bring up. It's been a while.
Yeah.
How you feeling? You feeling better?
Yeah, I'm feeling a lot better. I had a lot of medical things. What the hell is this AGE thing? It's terrible.
You know what? It beats P-E-A-T-H. I'll just say that, okay?
It's a dirty word.
I remember my mother. She kept her age until she was 75. She looked amazing. And then all of a sudden, she just kind of just was old, you know. I'm 75.
We weren't going to ask or tell, but, you know, you're looking good. 75, you're kidding me. You look awesome. Mm-hmm. Stop.
Yeah, no, I'm okay. I just had cataract surgery. That's weird. I wake up in the morning, I'm like this, trying to find my glasses, you know. But I had to have it.
You know, the only problem there, the big problem is when they're on your face and you have that blurry vision. And I'm glad
really
you're okay there.
I mean, I've got more lines now as well, that because I've been wearing glasses so long, I was just wearing my contacts when I was doing shows, you know.
All part of our COVID reality and getting adjusted back into things. The other thing is you had a lot of things that you had to get done, plans that it had to be rescheduled, tours that were already in the office.
Already contracted, yeah.
Yeah, but it's all been out there, done and dusted, so how'd it go?
Well, since I saw you, as we spoke the last time, I think I had to cancel my Christmas show, which would have been the first show 2.5 years. First time ever in my life, I had a very slight problem with a node in my throat. And I couldn't sing. So I had to cancel that show. I had to really take care of myself because Brazil was coming up, which it did. That was interesting. The last tour we did was phenomenal. This time it was different. It was certainly different. There were a few problems with equipment and stage stuff, which we never had before. Or because there were different people doing it this time and there just wasn't the same, you know. But the people were there and it was great. We did 4 shows. And then I decided to stay on for another 10 days because 21 years ago, I wrote a song with a singer-songwriter. He's pretty well known in Brazil, called Flavio Venturini. Uh-huh. And I went over with Rave, my keyboard player, and we did some shows with his band. Well, you can imagine the Brazilian band. Oh, my God. What amazing musicians they are down there. But you know what? If I popped off tomorrow, I would be so... thankful for a million things that I've done that people keep reminding me of. Like when I was 15, I jumped on the stage to try and grab hold of Mick Jagger in Cornwall.
No, I didn't know that. I never heard that story.
I wasn't that kind of person.
Wow.
I mean, and some friend of mine I saw when I went to England in January 2020 to edit that DVD we did. I went to see a friend I used to go to school with, and I saw her sister, and she said, "Oh, Anne." She's Cornish accent, you know. "Oh, Anne." You remember when we went to Caroline Bay, we went to see the Rolling Stones, and you went up the side and tried to climb on the stage.
That's classic.
Wow.
Yes, you did. So, but anyway, a lot of stuff. But anyway, so in 2021, when we did this work with Flavio and his band, which was wonderful, that we wrote a song together and we played it live, but we never recorded it. So I stayed on Brazil this time, and it just so happened that the day we recorded it was my 75th birthday.
Ta-da!
It's called Poetry of the Birds. It's going to be released shortly, and the studio was called Son Estéreo, and it's on top of a mountain range outside of Belo Horizonte in Brazil. And you look out at when you're singing, and it's just a mountain range, and you feel like you can touch it. It's right there. Unbelievable. I feel like I was a bit tired, but somehow something was with me that just gave me the energy to do a really good job, you know, with the singing. But it was fantastic. You know, a few problems we had on the tour, technical and things, it just all went away because this was so magnificent, you know.
You could see why.
And you can stay there in the studio. They've got bedrooms, and I had a bedroom, and I opened the windows in the morning. There's the mountain range right there in front of me. It was
breathtaking.
Wonderful.
Sounds like it's
so
breathtaking.
We did that. That's coming out soon. And then we got home, and 3 weeks later, we had to go to Germany because we were doing Night of the Prague, which is the biggest Prague festival in Europe. And it's on top of a mountain. It's called Lorelei, but an hour and a half from Frankfurt. And our hotel was in Frankfurt. We had to drive 1 hour and 15 minutes four times in one day.
Oh.
And I had an accident. This is the best thing. So we get there. I went 2 days earlier. It was about 104 degrees when I got there.
Hot summer over there, really.
Well, it was the heat wave as well, you know.
Yeah,
really,
yeah.
So I got through that. And then, so the day of the show, we had to get up early because we had to leave for sound check at 8 o'clock, I think it was, because the sound check was 9:30. In the morning, because of the bands like Pineapple Thief were on, people like that.
Right, early bands. Plus, you don't want to be doing sound check if you can avoid it in the middle of that heat. Jeez.
Oh, it was awful. It was like a sound check in the middle of the night because I was jet lagging. And so we did that. And at this place.
And they all think it's glorious and, you know, rock star lifestyle, you know, the on the ground reality.
Have no idea. I'm going to still pretend to be the angel that they think I am.
Well, that kind of leads to my next question. You've been gallivanting about.
You know, the fans in Germany, like there are about 3,000 people there. It's called The Rock. It's a giant, giant rock. And it's a folk tale about this mermaid, Lorelei. And it was it's a national heritage site. And Hitler apparently used to go up there and do all his get-togethers with his people and, you know.
I think I saw something about that.
It was kind of really odd. And I thought, I hope nothing happens while I'm here, you know, just because of that. Well, the driver of the bus that was taking us back and forth and with all the guys parked the truck when we got back after a sound check in the wrong place. And there were these giant orange cylinders, I would say, made out of metal, about 20 inches high and about that round to stop you from parking there. So we parked there. I opened the door. What did I do? It was right by me. I fell right over it.
Did you get hurt?
I did not. But as I've got a dislocated vertebra, if I'd have gone on my back, I wouldn't be speaking to you now. It's almost like I had help. Put my arm out to help me. I hurt my hand badly. But I didn't break anything. And I grazed my knee. That was bleeding. And the band had already gone into the hotel. I was on my own out there. And then it was like, what can we do to that Annie Haslam today? Let's see. It looked like I was okay and I didn't break any bones, so I decided I couldn't not do the show after the
show must go on.
Panic stopping me, you know. So I said, let's go back up to the festival. I'll go back because we were going to rest in that 4 hours. I went back with Pineapple Thief. Gavin Harrison, the drummer, was our drummer once in the 80s. He's now one of the best drummers in the world. He's with Porcupine Tree as well.
The drummer. Oh, yeah.
Gavin. So he was there. I hadn't seen him for years. So I went back up there because they were going up for their sound check, and I hitched a ride with them. The same driver again. And I was in a lot of pain. They did have medics up there. They looked after me, and I was okay. I didn't break anything, but I was shaky on stage, and I lost some words in Symphony of Light. But it was a great show. The audience were amazing. It was just...
Little crazy.
Every day for me is crazy. It was a great show, and we hadn't been there for many years to Germany, so... And then we went home the next day, and so that was it.
Annie Haslam is our guest on the Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll. And I saw an article that told me about a couple of things I never knew about you, and we've known each other for a few minutes, right? I never knew that you worked on Savile Row, and that originally being a clothes designer or, you know, creating clothes and stuff was what you wanted to do, even though you were a natural singer.
Well, my brother Michael was the singer. You know, he was managed by Brian Epstein and a ballad singer. He went on tour with the Beatles several times.
My heart won't say goodbye, though I hurt and I cry. Why is it when I say I'll leave you behind me, my heart must remind me I need you so.
I didn't, at that point, when he was doing that, I didn't even know that I was a singer. We both got it from my father, who was a great singer, but he was an amateur comedian singer. Very funny man, but a great voice. And so I wanted to be a dress designer, went to art school for that, and then I came to London, got several different jobs in different companies to keep my, you know, food in my mouth. And then I got this job as a tailor, not a tailoress, but as a, you know, an apprentice for a Savile Row tailor, David J. Coombs. It was incredible. Some famous movie stars, you know. And I remember when the Beatles were on top of the building next door, wherever it was, with the concert. I didn't go, obviously, because
was that near where you were working as an apprentice?
I was working as an apprentice for a Savile Row tailor.
But I mean, was that right near where you were when you were working there?
What, you mean the Beatles thing?
Yeah.
The Apple building is in Savile Row.
Uh-huh.
We were right by that. We were close. So we could hear it. It's funny because this fan said, he wrote to me, he said, I saw you, I know where you are, because you are on top of the building behind John Lennon. I thought, no, I wasn't.
Oh, because you've talked about being able to have heard it, they figured you were there.
It gets from one person to another person, it gets added to it. That was incredible. That was, you know, just being there. And then the recession, there was a very bad recession in England. And he had to let me go because I was the last one to join the company. Uh-huh. And it broke my heart. But, you know, I understood and I went on. And then, you know, I ended up a singer.
More with Annie Haslam right after this short break. We've got words from our sponsors, Crooked Eye and Boldfoot Socks.
You know, Marcus, when Marisa got back from her power walk the other day, she started doing a testimonial for Boldfoot Socks. So I told her, hold on. And I sat her down and had her record it. Hey, Marisa, tell us all about your Boldfoot Socks.
You know how much I love to go out on that 5:30 a.m. power walk. And I'm usually coming home sweating and dripping wet from head to toe. But since I bought my Boldfoot Socks, that isn't true anymore, at least not for my toes. After any workout or one of my long walks, I take off my shoes, I take off my socks, and I can't believe how dry my feet are. Even my socks aren't really that wet. These are the Boldfoot socks that I'm telling you about. They're so comfortable that I barely feel them on my feet when I'm walking or exercising. Every time you put on these socks, there's two words in capital letters that have so much meaning. You see the words, be bold. What that means to me is that If I'm going to go out for that walk, that jog, to the gym, wherever I'm going, it gives me a message that I can give it my best shot, that I can be empowered. I know it sounds crazy. It's just a pair of socks, but that's what it does for me. And they also wick the sweat away.
That's Boldfoot Socks at boldfoot.com. Check them out and be bold.
Hey, Ray, it's been a really fun summer, and included in that summer fun is all the happenings at Crooked Eye Brewery over in the heart of Hatboro.
So much going on, including the opening of the Crooked Eye Kitchen and the arrival of Salty Vets Barbecue. Matt and his team started small, but demand immediately outgrew what they'd done, so they've been making more to keep people fed over there. I got to tell you, man, so much has changed in the way things are going, too. Like, Rich and John are doing a duet now, and they're appearing regularly in addition to all the regulars like the Crooked Eye Band.
And with the fall coming on, you're going to see some really nice fall varieties of beers in the
and cider,
room.
Too, yeah. Probably. Don't forget, it's all there. Craft cocktails, too, at Crooked Eye at the main location, right there off York Road in Hatboro. Pouring the cure for what ails you since 2014, and now pouring craft cocktails and serving up that Salty Vet Fall Off the Bone barbecue.
Keep up with what's going on at the Crooked Eye Brewery by following them on Facebook.
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, three customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So, what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
There's a story that I saw, something about singing around the house. You mentioned your father and your brother singing, and that you didn't, like you said, didn't realize you had this talent. Was there one moment when you were adding to the fun where they both stopped and looked at you and you went, "What?" And everybody started realizing that you had this
talent? No, well, no, because Michael and Keith had left home at that point. All I know is that that song, Diana by Paul Anka, was on the radio all the time. So that's going to be...
50s?
Late 50s, something like that, whatever. And so I don't know. All I remember is my dad, so we've got some family, somebody was visiting, and my dad said, "Anne, come on then, let's hear you sing Diana," because I think they heard me singing along with it one day, right, the radio. And I said, "I'm going to go in the kitchen. I'm going to shut the door." See, my dad must have recognized something then when I was that child. They sent me for elocution lessons. And I thought, why are they doing this to me? They must have known that I needed to get rid of a really strong voice, like, you know. And I just found out the other day.
Guess what, Annie, one second. Yeah. Our research team listening to our conversation is sending me a message that Paul Anka's Diana was released in July of 1957.
That's the first time anybody heard me sing, and that was my audience. You know, I was in the kitchen. They were in the other room.
Well, you know, all those years later during the pandemic, you were singing in the kitchen again, you know?
I sing anywhere, because sing in the bathroom, in the toilet, whatever you want, really.
Is it really, really nice to get out of the house, do what you do, get on the road with the band, do all the stuff, even though I know it can be very, very stressful at times, just to do the tours and to do the shows and get to the fans and bring the music out?
Is the good thing about this band, I was talking to somebody earlier, is that there's no egos other than mine. I'm joking there. There's no problems with anybody in the band or the orchestra that we work with now. It's like a family. We have a wonderful time. And the thing is that everybody connected with the band love the music so much, including me. I never get fed up with singing. It's so special. This music is so special and so different. And it's still different. It's timeless. Because of the pandemic, I thought that was the end of everything, of course. And then I thought, well, I'm hoping it's not, but I couldn't see any. You know, when we were right in it, everybody was looking to try and see a future, but you couldn't. Mm-hmm. You couldn't, because we didn't know. There was so many different things going on. You didn't know who to believe.
Unprecedented in our times. You know what I thought would really help us all is if we could get one person who lived through it 100 years ago, because they're all gone, right? Bring them forward. If they could have sent one person from, 100 years ago to help us all, they could have probably had a lot of answers that would have made it less stressful than it
Yeah, happened. it was difficult all over the world, wasn't it? I cried every day.
I know. That's why the first question I asked you is, how are you feeling? Because I know what that was like.
It was awful. I was, for everything, the planet, everything, animals, everything. Well, obviously, we had to do the Brazilian and the German thing because we've got the contract. So we knew that we would be doing that. I was looking forward to the Christmas show in Sellersville, but then I got a problem with my throat and I had to cancel it.
Well, there are dates on the board, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to be out in October, staying kind of close to home. I see that you're playing on Long Island and Red Bank. You've got a date at the Keswick, such a great place. Of course, you've recorded there in the past.
Yeah.
And Finger Lakes and New York. We've been visiting some in Cooperstown this year, and it's always good to get up and visit the folks up there. And I see just before Halloween, wrapping things up at the Town Hall in New York. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, you know what? I just remembered the last time we played there, it was either on Halloween or the day before.
Two off. There you go.
Yeah, no, that's a lovely venue. But I think the Keswick is our favorite. Something about it, the people that, the promoter, everybody that works there. It's just, it's so easy. There's never any problems. It's just a wonderful place to be.
Well, your band plays it masterfully. It's a wonderful acoustic place to play as well, in addition to all the other stuff.
And also, I don't know if I can say this, but we also have an Indiegogo campaign going on.
Okay.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, we did one last time when we did the tour in 2019, because we have an orchestra of 10 musicians, so there's 16 of us all together. So, but to record is costs a lot of money, and so it's impossible without a record deal, which is a thing of the past basically for a lot of people. So we started an Indiegogo campaign to raise the funds to help us with the orchestra to record and everything. So that's going on right now.
What's the header for that if people go to the app to donate?
If they go to the Indiegogo, just go look for Renaissance, and it should go to the page. Yeah,
excellent.
Well, do that, folks, because that's how things are getting done this way. You almost feel like you're sharing in, the ownership of it as a fan. So it's a good thing. Good thing all around.
I was just wondering, you were talking about your childhood and singing and some of the early stuff that you did. Do you remember the first record that was gifted to you or the first record you bought with your own money?
Yes. Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow by the Shirelles.
Tonight you're mine.
Ooh.
I think the second one was Rubber Ball by Bobby V.
Wow.
And then the third one was Locomotion.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, now, the original, right?
I used to dance to that. I used to go around like this, like I was a steam train, you know.
Yeah. So what made you pick those records out of all of the other records that were out there at the time? Because there was a lot of great music coming out at that time.
I'm kind of an odd person, really. When I look back and think about other people growing up and, you know, like, a lot of girls would wear a lot of flowery clothes and everything. I was never really into flowery feminine high heels. I think the highest heel was like 3 inches. I tell a lie. I thought once, I really would like a pair of stiletto heels. And so I talked my dad into taking me into St. Austell in Cornwall and buy me a 5-inch pair of white winkle picker shoes.
Winkle pickers. That's come up on the podcast before.
And he dropped me off at the local dance right in Foy, and I sat down and I couldn't get up because I couldn't get my balance on these shoes. So I sat there all night until my dad came. But anyway, I've lost my train of thought now. I just went straight back to that place. So I wasn't the kind of person that was really into music. I mean, I probably listened to it on the radio, but not really got all that excited that I was going to go and buy things. And so I guess I heard it one day and I wrote it down, and my dad got me a record player, and that was the first one I bought.
Cool.
So it wasn't like I was an avid collector or listening to all kinds of music, except when we were still living in Bolton in 1962, when my brother was playing the guitar, and he was playing locally before he got discovered, I used to go into his bedroom and he said, "Don't make a noise." And what we'd have the radio on very low. It's Radio Luxembourg.
Slim Harpo was responsible for that unusual ballad, and Ian Mingus conjures up this piece of Taboo.
And I don't know if you've ever heard of that. And it was like everybody listened to Radio Luxembourg, if you could get it in those days. And we used to lie there and listen to all this music. That was my first introduction to music on the radio, to be honest, proper music. And I remember one of the songs, it was Ketty Lester, Love Letters.
Love letters straight from your heart. Keep us so near while apart.
You know, I just remember lying on the floor and listening to that song, thinking and not realizing that I was going to be a singer. I had no idea. My brother was the singer, not me.
But it all got in there.
The music got into your brain.
The music
was put in front of me. It wasn't like, you know, a lot of people go, "Oh, yeah, oh my God, I heard this," and then my friend said this. I wasn't like that. I'm not saying I didn't have a lot of friends, really. I was never, you know, one of these people like, "Oh, let's go to the cinema on Thursday, shall we? I'm going to wash my hair. Oh, no, we don't eat fish on Monday. I'll do the washing on Friday." All that kind of stuff. I'm not like that. That's why, you know, so I was being prepared for this really ridiculous life that I've had since, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You always wondered why it was like this, but then when you got to do what you were doing, it's like, oh.
Yeah, I was learning about life, but differently than everybody else, all my other little girlfriends, school friends and everything.
Very
yeah.
cool.
And they all got married. Most of them got married and they've got grandkids now, you know.
I love hearing about influences and what excited people who ended up going on to do music in their lives. It's really interesting to hear what what music excited you, what records excited you. You know, it's all part of the learning process, and it's fascinating to hear all these connections.
There is an interesting couple of interesting things. When I had a boyfriend called Eric Peacock, and he's the one who heard me singing at a party, and he's the one who encouraged me and put me in for these talent competitions and everything. At one point, it was before that. Was I still with Eric? Or was I cheating on him? Can't remember. Anyway. can't remember, to be honest. But anyway, I know what it was. I went to get a job with this company called Winsmore as a fashion artist, to design things for them, right? And so I went there, and I was so excited because to go for that, it's a top job, really, back then. And I was very good at drawing and coming up with ideas. So they took me in a room and they gave me a book and said, just come up with as many ideas as whatever you do, so we can see your style of drawing, you know. The owner of the company came in to see me, and he saw what I was doing. He said, oh my gosh, I really like your work. He was an older man. He said, I'm looking forward to seeing you when I come back from holidays, which really meant you've got the job, right?
Wow.
But he was going for 2 weeks. At the end of this day, I was taken into the office, and they said, we're sorry, but you're not right. They took my book in the office for 2 hours. I had to wait 2 hours, so they must have copied everything that I had done, and then they said, sorry, it didn't work. And I was heartbroken. And my mum and dad were about to go to Canada, and they said, right, you're coming with us. I went to Canada for a month. While in Canada, we went to the Brunswick Tavern, and there was a talent night. Everybody was drinking lager. It was in Toronto, and they had the songs. You could choose whatever one you wanted, and they're all written out on cardboard. So I thought,
early karaoke, right?
Yeah, that, exactly. And so I chose those were the days, because I knew it. Mary Hopkin, you know.
Once upon a time, there was a tavern where we used to raise a glass or two.
So I sang it and I won. So I won more lager. That's what I won.
Just remember, they may not have as much punch, but if you drink enough lagers, it can be dangerous.
Yeah. So I won that. And then years later, Tony Visconti is now my friend, and he's produced a couple of my albums. Mm-hmm. And then when I was with Eric Peacock, I remember we moved into this place in North Chingford on the edge of Epping Forest. It's another amazing place. And we went to a shop, record shop, and bought ELO. First one.
Oh, wow.
And guess who's on that? Well, Roy Wood, of course.
Another nutcase.
I end up living with Roy Wood and producing my album. It's like all this stuff coming back. It's been like that my whole life, I think. When I look back, all these things are coming back, Mm-hmm. Like the last, we brought Jim McCarty, of course, was from the Yardbirds. Brought him over in 2019 to be at the show in New York and the Keswick.
Yes, I saw him.
And he, because the song he wrote with Keith was called, and with Beethoven, was called Island. So we brought him over
and that was your audition song, wasn't it?
And we did Island with the orchestra and with Jim.
And that was your audition song when you joined the band.
That was my audition song that got me the job.
Wow.
Yeah, and there's Jim, and he's a great guy. He's funny. He's a nice guy. That was very special. I've got lots of stories like that, but I know we haven't got the time. Sorry.
Always time for you, my friend.
God, it's so much stuff. It's crazy. But at least I'm feeling a lot better than I did a few months ago.
That's good.
We're glad.
Had a heart thing going on and had to get that checked out and had a cardiac catheterization or whatever. That was scary. And then they checked my lungs out, and I And we did these tests where, you know, hold your breath for as long as you can, which is fine for me. And at the end of it, he said, well, he said, there's nothing wrong with your lungs. He said, people are giving money for those lungs. That was a relief.
Whoa, Doc, come on.
He said, I think it must be a singing. Your lungs are amazing. Yeah.
Do you have an exercise routine? Do you have a strict dietary routine or anything like that?
You know, when I'm painting, because I'm painting a lot now as well, and I've got commissions and things, I sit down a lot, and really I should get up every couple of hours and then lie down, you know, to rest your back, but I forget to do that. But
or take a walk, take a little walk, just a mile.
Yeah, I know I should, but then the phone will go, and then right now we're in the middle of doing all the tour things.
Oh, by the way, it's great that the phone hasn't gone off once during this entire interview.
That's
unlike
because
the last
I took
time.
It off the hook.
Ah, there we go. Well, thanks for that.
It's very simple.
True.
Always. Oh, hey, before I forget, I got to thank Scott Blubahn for getting us together today. I know we can call each other on the phone anytime, Andy, but it was just good to have Scott in the mix.
Oh, yeah. Hi,
thanks
Scott.
For helping.
Thank
Hi,
you.
Scott.
Hello, Scott.
Hi, Tara. Andy Haslam on the Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll. I know you got a lot going on. Thanks so much, Andy.
Yeah, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Really enjoyed it.
Me too. Thank you.
Renaissance, back on the road and on the podcast. Always so good to talk to Annie Haslam. Now I'm going to have that song Diana in my head all day. You know, it's an earworm. I'm going to be like all day now.
I'm definitely going to listen to that one again as well.
Stay
good stuff.
Diana. Oh, always fun to get in crazy mode whenever we talk to Annie, though. And she just brings it out in us. She turns us all into nutcases, you know.
Absolutely. We need to get her back again in the near future to share some more great stories of that golden period of rock and roll in the 70s when Renaissance was really shining bright. Ugh.
Till the next time we crack the mic in the Dark Duck Studios, I'm Ray Coob.
I'm Marcus Goldman.
This is the Imbalanced History
of Rock and Roll.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.